Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Also, the Keystone Sports app, where we're talking Penn State football 24/7. That's why we're here right now. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle. We're going to get started with a little bit of recruiting here, Greg.
Yep.
The opening had, I mean, they do this every year, but they had a regional in New Jersey where, boy, it just seemed like an inordinate number of Penn State interests were there. In the 19 class, the 20 class, Greg was there, and I think he's going to have some thoughts on a lot of the guys who are there. One of them is Penn State's quarterback of the future, and I know I'm curious, Taquan Roberson, what's he got? Is he about to explode onto the scene like some previous Penn State targets?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think that when you look at what he did on Sunday down there, he throws a nice ball. He's an accurate passer. I don't know if he blows you away, though. I think that he's just very consistent, very reliable. He reminds you a lot of Trace McSorley in a lot of ways. He's 6 foot, a buck 85. Throws a good ball, can go deep, can go short, can throw all the passes, all the routes. So, I mean, to me, I just think that maybe he's not going to get the ratings bump he was hoping for, but that doesn't mean that, you know, he's not a good quarterback or that Penn State recruited somebody it shouldn't have or so on and so forth. It is what it is. He's not necessarily the flashiest guy, but he was definitely one of the best quarterbacks there. There were a couple other guys that stood out, but I thought that he was among the top three for sure. And Penn State knows that when it lost Joe Moorhead, that Taquan Roberson was not going to go anywhere because he knew Ricky Ronnie. Ricky Ronnie was his New Jersey recruiter. And then when you consider the fact that the offense is not changing and that they're recruiting guys like him for that quarterback job in Ricky Ronnie's offense, didn't make sense for him to look anywhere else. So I think Penn State's getting a good one here. Like I said, he's maybe not going to blow you away, but I'm sure his testing numbers were good. I didn't get a chance to look at those to sort of get a better idea of his speed, but he looked pretty good, Dustin. He throws a nice ball, and like I said, I think Penn State's getting a good one.
Just a little programming note. We're going to talk a little bit more about the current team coming up. Ask Greg. And we're going to do a little wrap on the Penn State basketball season, too. NIT champions. Since we left you on that front, Tony Carr did, in fact, declare for the NBA draft. He signed with an agent, so he is no more. Jeff Brown's going to join us a little bit later to talk about that. But I did want to start with the recruiting front because this – we've been following these events for a while, but this one in New Jersey, again, just seemed to have a lot of big names. And on the subject of Taquan Roberson, I think he's just another example of Penn State looking for something more between the ears than anything else with their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And a lot of their quarterbacks, Trace McSorley, Sean Clifford, Jake Zembeck, Will Levis stands out a little bit more athletically than some of the others. Tommy Stevens, I think it was fair to say, as a prospect from Indiana, but even Stevens was a three-star. Levis was a three-star. Penn State has established this trend where they do not need a five-star prospect at that position. A lot of people, even going back to 2014, I think the fact that they're not getting these sterling recruits still makes people a little bit uneasy.
Yeah.
So I think seeing a guy like Roberson and understanding the fact that athletically he makes the grade in all these areas, consistency and reliability are going to be right up there near the top of Penn State's list for a quarterback, as
yeah.
well they should.
Absolutely. And I want to say this the right way because I don't want it to come off the wrong way. But let's be honest, with Trace McSorley playing his final season and Tommy Stevens expected to be the next in line, and then Sean Clifford expected to come behind him, it's not to say these guys are guaranteed the job, but if you are a 4 or 5 star top of the line quarterback with offers from all over the country, Penn State's probably not going to be your first option if your goal was to get on the field immediately, because there's very clear roadblocks for your freshman season and quite potentially your sophomore and junior season too. So it's not to say competition obviously wouldn't come into play, because it would. And, you know, Tommy Stevens is probably as close to guarantee the job next year as a quarterback could be, or anyone in James Franklin's program could be. Sean Clifford would, of course, have to earn it then, but he would seemingly be the next in line. I'll tell you what, when we get into the team conversation, we can talk a little bit more about him, but he looks good so far at the extended reps he's getting in spring. So if you are one of these guys with offers from all over the country, you probably aren't looking at Penn State because of the fact that, again, there's roadblocks if you want to play early. So you look around, is Penn State going to get another guy? So Garrett Schrader is the one that I think they were looking at the most, the Charlotte, North Carolina quarterback that committed to Joe Moorhead, Mississippi State. So Jomo wins that one. It makes sense. I mean, he was recruiting Schrader the hardest for Penn State. Schrader knows the kind of offense he is going to get into with Moorhead. He also knows what Ricky Ronnie's going to do, but they already have Taquan Roberson to fill that job. So why wouldn't you go with Moorhead and the other guy? You ready for it? Tyson Famuchu.
Famuchu.
Yes.
Okay. That is the Connecticut quarterback who's come up here
numerous times.
More weeks than not on the show, and we haven't been able to pronounce his name no more. That's probably the biggest news of the weekend.
I think so.
Is that we can proceed, and I think we're just going to just keep mentioning his name just because we can.
I think we should. But anyway, so he has the offer, but I don't know. I got the sense talking to him that, you know, Penn State's a school that he's really interested in and he likes, but you look at his other options and they're numerous. And why would he, again, why would any quarterback go somewhere where there's a kid already committed and numerous guys with potential eligibility for a stretch down the road if they have options that are more appealing from a playing time standpoint? So I think that's what Penn State's fighting right now when they're trying to get a second quarterback, but also have these very real depth chart and then verbal commitment issues that, you know, in the mind of recruits.
So I guess I tend to think about the quarterback depth chart a little bit differently than you do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that competition is going to be everywhere. And I think if you are just a stud 2019 recruit, it doesn't look like Penn State is going to get a five-star in the class. It's no secret that several classes in a row, and the 19 class seems the most realistic. They're looking for a second quarterback. But the way the depth chart shakes out, so the worst-case scenario is that you're sitting on the bench 2 years waiting for Sean Clifford to go exhaust his eligibility.
Right.
The best-case scenario is that you're arriving there in time to learn for a year behind Tommy Stevens, which I think any quarterback's expectation should be not to see the field immediately. I know there are special exceptions. Justin Fields was one of them.
Yeah.
But I think the best case scenario is that you are going to arrive with a pretty clean slate. You're going to have a year. Clifford's going to have 3 years, I guess, at that point, right? So there's an advantage. But where are you going to go that there's an incumbent that doesn't have that advantage?
Certainly. No, it's certainly a fair point. And it kind of gets back to our talks about Tommy Stevens with, you know, he could transfer, but where is the situation going to be better than the one he has at Penn State? So, no, that's certainly a fair point. To me, it just feels hard to take two quarterbacks in a cycle. I don't have the data to back it up, but I'm thinking many schools don't have success doing that, or if they do, they're not getting both top targets. They're getting the guy that they originally wanted, and then they're getting the guy they offered late in the year, maybe a senior riser or something like that. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if any other Penn State offers go out, because like we said, Schrader does come off the board. What comes next? Who else are they watching? That's what we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's. I think it's a hard task, and you've seen that play out for the past few years. So it wouldn't stun me either way if Penn State does or doesn't get a second quarterback. Talking to Penn State football here, recruiting, looking at the opening regional in New Jersey, which happened on Sunday. Greg was there, and I tell you, I mean, Xavier Truss, Caden Wallace, Brian Breese, Tyler Rudolph, Marquise Wilson. These are just a handful of names that Penn State is interested in.
Yeah.
I thought, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the biggest storylines, maybe the biggest storyline, was Antonio Alfano, the way that he tested, the way that he looked.
Yep.
He looked like he's a guy on a mission. I say guy because he looks like he's 25.
He does. There's no question about it, Dustin. And he did feel like a guy on a mission. During one-on-ones, he was easily the most vocal and wound-up player of the group, and with good reason, because there was no one that could really stop him. The only guy that even merely kind of stood in his way was Caden Wallace, another guy Penn State's heavily going after, four-star guard out of Princeton, New Jersey. He stood in his way, I think, once, but lost two other times. So, no, Alfano's good. He's going to see a lot of programs over the next couple of weeks, and he's already seen a lot, including Penn State. He was just up there for a two-day visit. So, I think the Lions are certainly in play here, but they have a lot of competition now that he backed off back in December. He was going to decided not to do that. So now there's a lot of teams in play, and we'll see how that plays out. As for Wallace, I still have Penn State lean for him. I didn't hear anything that changed my mind. I guess the one thing I maybe didn't expect is that he does want to see other schools, which is smart. Do it now, get it out of the way, and then make your decision. And I think when he does make his decision, it'll be to Penn State. A couple other guys that jumped out at me. John Metchie is the wide receiver that Penn State's really been going hard after from I don't know if he's from Hagerstown or Sharpsburg, Maryland, one or the other. But he looked good. I mean, he's a big kid, and I think that Penn State will continue to lead the way there until he makes a decision. He was just on campus again, a multi-time visitor, just like Caden Wallace. So I'd be surprised if Penn State didn't land both of those guys. Maybe not anytime soon, but sooner rather than later. And then the one other guy I would point out, you mentioned, well, a couple more actually, Tyler Rudolph and Marquise Wilson, both going to take official visits for the blue-white game. They're good, man. They're quick. They're talented. They're exactly what Penn State looks for in the secondary. And I think, you know, Rudolph is probably a safety at the next level. Wilson is interesting because he has some offers as a wide receiver. He has some offers as a corner. So he could put a lot of versatility into your game plan if you were to land him. The one thing I'll be watching for is, will he go to a school that tells him he's going to get the chance to do both? And is that going to be a driving factor in his recruitment or not? So I'll be curious to see how that plays out. But Tua, Connecticut's best, planning to be on campus for the Blue White game.
I want to talk about the importance of the Blue White game, but just quickly, Saquon Barkley made an appearance out there. His brother Allie Barkley was competing at the opening. How good can Allie be? I think that's a lot of people are thinking about that.
Yeah, he needs to take the Saquon path where maybe he wasn't as explosive, wasn't as didn't have as good of numbers early in his career, but then sort of skyrocketed as a junior and a senior. I think that's the path he has to take. He looks the part, but it needs to, you know, equal out on the field. So I think that's the thing to watch for there. The other thing, moving away from Saquon, I think another guy I didn't get to mention was Andre White, the Harrisburg three-star linebacker that, you know, could follow in the footsteps of Damian Barber, Micah Parsons, and of course Saquon Barkley, and eventually picked the Lions. But he is a little bit thinner than I thought, but it's okay because he's very fluid. He's quick. He has good acceleration. You can see why he was the MVP of the opening regional out in San Francisco, why USC offered him. That one was clearly a big deal to him, and I think that has broadened his recruiting horizons and made him think that, you know, okay, maybe I was getting ready to making a decision. Now maybe I'll slow down a little bit, see what other schools come in and offer me. But at this point in time, it looks to me, again, that Penn State's a leader there, but we'll see where things go when all is said and done. I do think some more schools are going to come in, and that's going to maybe slow him down a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I still, every time I hear Andre White now, I think about the question we got on Ask Greg, which is coming up a little bit later in the show, by the way, about his recruitment being like Micah Parsons. And I think you're talking about apples and oranges. I also believe that slender is okay. I think Penn State is looking for a core set of skills, movement, the fluidity you mentioned, because they can manipulate bodies however they need to. If they want Andre White to be 260 pounds, he'll be 260 pounds. They don't, of course.
Right.
But if he's starting at, what, 205 or something like that, 210, they have no issues or reservations believing that they can get him up to 230 and really turn that around in a year.
Yeah.
So but the body thing, it's whatever.
Yeah, it really is at this point. I mean, again, there's some guys that come in and they don't, there's not necessarily a clear plan for where those guys are going to end up, and I think that's when you sometimes get into a little bit of a gray area. Troy Apke and Koa Farmer are two examples of that. But yeah, the more often than not you get these guys in there, you figure out where you want to go with them. Damian Barber's a great example. You get him in, he's going to be a defensive tackle, not a defensive end, and now he's ready to contribute.
They can do whatever they want, in other words. Alright, we got more recruiting stuff to touch on, plus I want to talk about some of the news headlines that came out on the current team. So we'll take a quick break and come back with that. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-LONG.